teach thee. As we gather now around the word of God, focus our mind, draw our hearts out after thee, and bless us by thy Spirit in thy presence. We ask this tonight, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 147 and verse 3 tells us very simply that he healeth the broken in heart. That's enough for me. I could rest with that tonight. He healeth the broken in heart. When God created man, he made him both body and soul. Remember when God breathed into Adam, it tells us that Adam became a living soul. He was not only physical, but he was spiritual. And so man has a twofold dimension to him. It doesn't take much really, brethren and sisters, to hurt us physically. Sometimes the smallest little fall can create the biggest damage. And how many people just have tripped on a pavement and have ended up in hospital for weeks, maybe months afterwards. And when man, of course, is physically hurt, we don't sit and look at man and say he doesn't need any help. We take him to the nearest medical physician in order to get help for him. But somehow or another, we don't apply the same rule of thumb and with the same principle when it comes to the inward hurts, to the hurts of the heart and the hurts of the physical man. What a different people we would be if we were as serious in ministering a balm to those that are hurting inwardly as much as those that are hurting outwardly. In my own ministry, I have been very keenly aware that there are many broken hearts. Over the past year, we've ministered to many broken hearts. Those that have lost loved ones, those that couldn't even go to visit their loved ones, those that have felt that separation and that loss so keenly in their heart and in their life, and those that have felt that desperation. We've had many broken hearts in this land of ours, even over the past year. And there are others, and outwardly they may appear just whole and they may appear strong, but inwardly they're broken. Broken individuals. And maybe there are such in the gathering tonight. Outwardly everything appears to be going well, but inwardly you're broken. And you feel your own brokenness tonight, and you feel your own burden, and you feel that just pressure coming in upon you. And you feel just like this text tells us here, broken in heart. I will go further tonight. If you've never experienced what it is to be broken in heart, you'll never know what it is to be whole in life. There are some people nearly make a virtue out of the fact they're never sick, they're never ill, they never have any problems, they never have any difficulties. I don't know how they could ever empathize with anybody else along the journey of life. They're so self-absorbed and self-centered. Maybe I'm the opposite. If I'm broken inwardly, I just look it. But I'm glad there's a balm in Psalm 147 and verse 3. The very God who numbers the stars. Up to recent years, man couldn't even have envisaged the number of stars that are out there. Now we know there are millions of them. Absolutely millions of them. And God who numbers the stars is the same God who heals the broken in heart. I don't want you to think tonight that God's not interested in your broken heart. He is. If God numbers the stars, he's also numbered your brokenness and your need, and he knows exactly what you're going through. Here is a message for all of our hearts this evening. It is a subject with blessed application to all of our lives that will bring healing to our souls tonight. As we consider it, God healing the broken in heart, first of all, let me leave with you some thoughts on the natural explanation for a broken heart. We can't say that it's all supernatural. There are natural explanations for a broken heart. Some people are broken because of desertion. Desertion. It's one of the most awful feelings in the world to feel as if you have been deserted. You have been left alone. You have been left behind. Those in whom you put your trust, those in whom you put your confidence, those to whom you give your love, they deserted you in your hour of need. You've been deserted. We can understand the pain and the hurt even in a marriage where one partner is deserted by another partner in whom they place their loyalty and give their affections for a long number of years. We can understand the sorrows of a parent when an ungrateful child deserts the home, not grows up the natural way and moves on from the home, but deserts the home and deserts their responsibilities in the home. We can comprehend even the brokenness of a heart of someone who has lost a friend. No, friends are important in life. I would encourage all of you to look after your friends. They're important. And you know, maybe you're like me, the older you grow, the more you realize the fewer friends that you really do have. But you look after those few friends. They're special along the journey. I often hear young people say, even since I've gone on Facebook, people have 2,000 friends. You know, sometimes people come on Facebook and they put a request to me, can I be their friend? I don't know them from Adam. I've never met them from Adam. But you know the one telltale sign I always look for? How many friends do they have? Somebody with 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 friends, they don't need Ian Harris as a friend. It's just a statistic, an empty statistic on an empty sheet. We can understand those who have been deserted if we look at Christ, because Christ was deserted by his disciples in his hour of need as he hung on Calvary's cross. They all left him. When we think of the broken heart of Christ on Calvary's cross, I think in some way there's a natural explanation for it too, and in some measure it has to be that he was deserted by those that he put all his time and trust and investment in over some 3 years. Others have been broken by death. We all know the pain of what it is to say farewell to those that we love. To those that we love. I am sure you can remember the first death in your family circle of a loved one that was close to you. I can remember. And I can remember it even though it was over 50 years ago. As a young boy, I'd never come face to face with death before. But when someone dies in the home that you love, you remember it. That was the death of my grandmother. It's heartbreaking to say farewell to those that we lose in death. Even though we know they've died in Christ, even though we know, as we heard this morning, it is only to the resurrection morning that we'll meet them on that glad fair day again, barring death itself for our own souls. Sometimes the brokenness of death and grief stays with people for years, for years. Everybody has their own way of grieving, men and women. And everybody has their own way of mourning. Do not judge anybody else's way or brokenness of heart. Death also has been an occasion of heartache. The past year, we have witnessed in our own land thousands of people been laid off and losing their job. And sometimes we forget everybody who loses their job, they probably have rent to pay, they probably have a mortgage to pay, they have a home to keep, they have utilities to pay, they have responsibilities, perhaps to a wife and family and children and a broader spectrum of life. Sometimes there are unavoidable circumstances that happen to individuals that puts them into debt. If you've never been there, you'll never know what it is. But thank God there's one to whom we can cry. That's why we read down to verse 9. The young ravens cry to God for their food and he hears them. If the young ravens cry to God for their food and he hears them, will he not hear the cry of his people? David could say, I have been young and now I am old, and yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, Psalm 37, or his seed begging bread. Does that mean Christians never go and want? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that we have a faithful God. We can cry to him for our daily need, for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Some have to battle with the brokenness of disappointment. There are many disappointments in life. I know the young people do have their disappointments. Sometimes we forget that young people have their own disappointments in life. Maybe they work really hard for an exam and they don't pass the exam and life just seems crushed. And I want to say to all the young people, no matter what age you are, there's life on the other side of that exam. Exams aren't everything in life. They are important and you work for them, but there's life on the other side of them. It's not bad, boys and girls, to be wrong. It's not bad to make a mistake. It's not bad to fail. Do not think you have to succeed all the time. It is not bad to fail. It is not bad to say, I could have done better. I think some of the greatest personal brokenness of heart is our own personal defeats. There are some people, and they never like to admit they've been defeated at anything. You know, they're always winners. In Kitale, there was a church, and it was called, when I lived there, the Winner's Chapel. And everybody who went there, they said, I'm a winner, I'm a winner. By that, they meant they believed in the so-called prosperity gospel that has swept right across Africa, a false gospel, a counterfeit gospel that tells you if you come to Jesus, you're going to win, you're always going to win money, you're always going to be prosperous. It's not so. It's a lie of the devil. You're never going to be sick. It's not so. It's a lie of the devil. You're never going to suffer personal defeat. It's not so. It's a lie of the devil. We live in a broken world. We were listening to a sermon going down last Sunday to Enniskillen as we travelled down the road, and there was a very interesting preacher. He was talking about dysfunctional families. Do you ever think your family's dysfunctional? There was only one family in the world that wasn't dysfunctional. Way back in the Garden of Eden before the fall, and they invented dysfunctionality. In a sense, we're all dysfunctional. We all have our problems. We all have our personal defeats. We all know what it brings. It brings brokenness of heart. There's only one who can mend the brokenness that life brings our way. And let me point you to him again tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have covered just a few, very few things. The Lord knows all those things that have brought you to brokenness tonight. Secondly, let me leave with you some thoughts about the spiritual explanation of a broken heart. Now, we've looked at the verse and it's not your light, it's there, but it's not sufficient. It's not a sufficient interpretation of the text. The heart that is broken, not just by the world's cares, but on account of their own sin before Almighty God, that's a heart that needs healing. Those that know their own sin need to be healed by the Lord. If you go back with me to Psalm 51, here was David in this great penitential psalm. And he knew the smarting of sin in his own life. In Psalm 51:17, we read that he said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God does not despise a broken heart. If you've never looked at sin and been broken for it, you do need to look at sin and be broken for it. That's a great conundrum. If your heart has never been broken by sin, you don't know what sin is. If your heart has never been brought low because of your sin, well then it's too high, men and women. You're too haughty and too proud. Because those who know their own heart and those who know the sin of their own heart, they will be broken by the sin of their own heart and broken by the sin of their own lives. When an unconverted person is brought under conviction of sin by Almighty God, what does God do? Well, he breaks their heart. That's what God does. God breaks them at their strongest. where there is no true brokenness of heart. It tells us serious things. It tells us that the world and all of its pleasures and all of its attractions are still your heart's delight. If you're still caught up with the world and the things of the world, the worldly man doesn't know that brokenness of heart over sin because he's too caught up with the things of time and sense. Is that you tonight? You have no time to think about your sin. You have no time to think about your soul. You have just time to think about business and life and getting on in life and pushing on in life. But what happens when life ends? What happens when the journey comes to maybe an abrupt and a sudden conclusion? Will it be time then to stop and think about your sin? The self-righteous can never know brokenness of heart because they're too proud of their own heart and too proud of their own life. They think that they have no sin. Oh, may the Lord have pity upon the self-righteous and perhaps our own self-righteousness at that too. Those with a true broken heart will have deep sorrow on account of their sin. A heart that's broken because of sin will be plunged into sorrow because they see their sin in the light of God. It's against God and against God's law and against God's holiness that you've sinned. That's a solemn thought. A very solemn thought indeed. True brokenness of heart will also ensue from the realization that there's none of us can save ourselves. That's a solemn thing, isn't it? You cannot save yourself. Someone falls off the pier. They can't swim. They're flopping about in the water. They're trying their best to get in. They will never get in until someone throws them out the life raft. And now they hold on to it. And as they hold on to it, they're brought in. You'll never be able to save yourself. It's an impossibility. And may God break you at that strong point tonight. Thirdly, we have in the text, I think, the supernatural explanation for the cure of a broken heart. There are two types of people, I think, described in this text for us, implied and directly outlined for us. We have the patient, those that are broken. We have the physician, those that have the cure. Look at the patient. They're broken. They can do nothing for themselves. So what do we do tonight? Are we going to talk about ourselves? Are we going to talk about what you can do to make yourself better? No, I'm going to talk about the physician, the one alone who can heal, the one alone who can bring healing to the broken in heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the great physician of sinners, and he's the great physician of broken hearts, and only Christ can heal the truly broken in heart. There are people tonight all over this little land of ours, and they're going to this one, and they're going to that one, and they're trying this thing, and they're trying that thing, but it'll all come to naught, because there's only one who can really heal, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the great physician. Only Christ can heal. And it was for this reason he came into the world. I love those type of verses that we find recorded in the Gospels, in Luke's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke's Gospel chapter 4 tells us here just very simply and succinctly the reason why the Lord Jesus came into the world. Luke 4 and verse 18, it tells us there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Not lovely to know. Why was the Lord Jesus Christ sent? He was sent with this purpose, to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. And what a ministry he was set aside to perform. And all you have to do tonight is just to bring your broken, contrite heart to him. That's all you have to do. Just place it at his feet and he has the cure. No one else has the cure. Only Jesus has the cure. He's the one alone who can heal the brokenhearted. The Bible tells us of the balm that he uses to heal those broken hearts. We read in Isaiah 53 and 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Why is there healing tonight? Why is there hope for the broken of heart? Because of Calvary. Because of the cross work of our dear Savior. We can preach the great physician tonight who can heal the broken in heart. Those that are smitten down. Those that are broken because of their sin in front of Almighty God. Those whom life itself has crushed. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. The one alone who can heal the broken in heart. The one who can heal your broken heart tonight. And he invites you to bring that broken heart to him. Is there a heart that is broken, we can say, weary and sighing for rest? Come to the arms of thy Savior and pillow thy head on his breast. You don't have to go the rest of the week. You don't have to go the rest of the day with a broken, bleeding heart. You bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ alone can heal that broken heart of yours. And he invites you to do so. I thought this morning of those lovely words. On the day of judgment, Jesus will say, depart. But we're not there at the day of judgment. And so he says in this day of gospel grace tonight, come. And come with your brokenness. And come with your sin. And come and put it at his feet. And he says, I'll heal those who are broken in heart. May the Lord meet each one of us at the point of our need tonight, at our heart's need. Search our hearts and bring to Christ those that know him not, and encourage those that are battling up the hill of difficulty, and give them grace to face the days that lie ahead. We're going to sing just a few verses of a hymn in conclusion. The great physician now is near the sympathizing Jesus. Just sing three verses of it. Lovely, well-known hymn to each and every one of you. And just do your very best, despite all the restrictions that are placed upon us, do your best to sing it unto the Lord as we close our worship out tonight in God's house. Let's please unite our hearts in prayer as we close our meeting tonight. Again, we'll give you the invitation if you want to speak to me. I'm here to help morning and evening, but if you'd like to speak to us, just intimate that as you leave the building tonight. Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we thank Thee tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one alone who can heal the broken in heart. And I pray that hearts heavy with sin tonight, maybe just with the battle of life tonight, might find healing at the foot of the old rugged cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ can mend broken hearts and broken lives and can make them whole. Lord, we commend every life to Thee, every boy and girl to Thee, every young person, every man and woman, those that are listening in and have joined with us online. Lord, we pray that dear souls tonight will find healing for their brokenness through faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for this day that You've spared us, Lord, to see, this day that You've blessed us with. And I pray, Lord, that Thou would sanctify the good word of God to every heart and life tonight as we make our way home. Depart us now in Thy fear and in Thy favour, and watch over us, we beseech Thee, until we meet again, or until Jesus comes or calls, in whose dear name I pray. Amen.